So we're on lesson four now, revision from last week. When we are born again, our recreated human spirit becomes one with God in vital union with God through the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's ministry to the believer is vital to our spiritual development and progress. And although we are instantly sanctified or set apart to God when we are born again at the new birth, there is still progressive side of our sanctification to be outworked in our lives. So that's what we talked about last week, that Tracy talked about, especially Tracy. She talked about that you need the relationship with the Holy Spirit, because he's the one that strengthens you. He's the one that reveals the things of God to you. What does he reveal? To your spirit, right? So the minute you're born again, you're instantly sanctified. You're instantly sanctified. Your spirit is created in the likeness and image of God. Your spirit is sanctified. Your DNA of God, right? And we go over this and over this, but it's so important. Your spirit is created in the likeness and image of God. Your spirit is born again of the incorruptible seed of the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. So your spirit man is totally, absolutely sanctified, separated, set apart in him and living in him. And he's living in you. So what is then the progressive sanctification? It has to be the solical man. It's the solical man. It's the flesh. It's the Adamic nature, which we're going to get into in a minute. But it's the Adamic nature. That has to be the progressive sanctification, the progressive outworking of your salvation. And that's why it says I think it's Philippians, it says, work out. Look, watch me. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Work out. Your salvation is worked from the inside out, by speaking and declaring who you are in Christ Jesus. That's how you work your salvation out. You're speaking according to his word, declaring who he says that you are, who he says that you are, new creation, that you're the righteousness of God. You work it. That gets inside of you, and you start speaking that. You will start to walk in it. You walk out your salvation, but it's from the inside out. Religion tries to take you from the outside in. They can't do it. And that's the problem with it. They're always trying to deal with it from the outside in. No, God always deals from the inside out. I think that's a great song, isn't there? That they were singing about the inside out. I don't know what the song is, but I know I remember that one verse in it, from the inside out. God deals from the inside out, always in our life. Like the vine, you remember Jesus? I'm the vine, you're the branches. The life is in the vine, you're the branch. The life source comes from the vine and flows into the branch. God doesn't knock things off of you with a hard, core ruler or whatever. No, God pours life into you, and the life of the vine flows through you and flows into the branch and basically pushes the old stuff off of you. That's how it works. So this stuff goes into you, the life of God will come into you and push. You'll find that things will just start disappearing out of your life. Why? Because the more of the life that you're flowing in, you're walking in the newness of life in Christ Jesus. When you're walking in life, hey, the old stuff is just disappearing. That's what happens. It's not, I've got to do this, and I've got to see. It's law. You put laws on you. No. Keep pouring the life into your spirit. Your spirit man gets stronger, and you start walking out of your spirit. And all of a sudden, these things, you look back and you go, man, I feel changed, because you are changed. You get changed from glory to glory, from righteousness to righteousness, from faith to faith. Okay, the soul, the Adamic man. The origin of the human soul began with Adam, right? So we're talking about the soul, a little bit about the solical man. From the Greek word for the soul, psyche, we talked last week, we derived the words like psychology, psychiatry, and psychoanalysis. They do not come from the born-again supernatural nature that God puts within us. Now let me just say one thing on that, right? These things have their place, right? But this is me. You can take this and you can shelf this and you do what you want with it, right? But I'm telling you, that stuff is for the world. I believe that stuff is for the world. That's all they've got. That's all they can deal with, because they can only deal with the psychic of man. They can only deal with the solical part of man. God deals with our spirit man. We have something bigger and better in God. And God, it's your new creation. It's your born again spirit. But they're trying to deal with a solical man, and all they do is put, listen, I worked in social work for over 10 years. So if there's any social workers here, don't. 10 years I worked in social work. I sat with psychologists. I sat with all these things that were going on, and I watched what was happening, and it was a sticky plaster that was getting put on people's lives. Sticky plasters, that's all that happens. sitting there with psychologists and all these sit there talking to people. And you know what was happening? All they were doing, like these people talking, they were regurgitating what they were telling them. They don't have supernatural gifts. They don't have the words of knowledge. They don't have the words of wisdom. We are a supernatural church and we have to be operating in the supernatural. The church in the past has tried to take these things on board because they've stopped operating in the supernatural, and then they take these things on board and try to bring them into the churches, and all you've got is a glorified worldly church. God by his Spirit will reveal things. God by his Spirit will expose things. God by his Spirit will strengthen us in the inner man and cause us to rise up inside and take charge of our own souls. Now, if that doesn't suit with your doctrine, I'm sorry, just put it aside. I'm not here to tell you what to believe, but I'm telling you, the Adamic man, psychologists and all these people, they deal with the Adamic man. They don't know how to deal because they don't know you're a spirit. So, let's have a look. 1 Corinthians 2:10 and 14. But God has revealed them to us through his, what? His Spirit. God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man? I pause for that for a second. See, people think they know you. No. What knows the things of man except the spirit of man? The spirit of man. The spirit of man, which is in him. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. The only person that knows the things of the Father through the Son is the Holy Ghost. And he's the one that reveals these things, the kingdom of God. He's the one who reveals, and that's why you have to have a relationship with the Holy Ghost, who is God. He is God, and he is the one that will reveal things to you in the inner man, in the inner man. So even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. He's not trying to hide anything from you. Come on. How many people say, oh, the secret things belong to the Lord? God's not interested in holding secret things back from you. He's trying to reveal things to you. That's why he sent the Holy Spirit, who is the great teacher, the intercessor. The one who reveals the mind and the purpose and the plans of the Father to your life. But he reveals them to your spirit. So you have to be able to walk out of your spirit and know what your spirit is and how to tap into it. So these things also speak not in the words which man's wisdom. So freely given to you by God. These things we also speak not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man or the Adamic man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Look up here. See his book? This book is a spiritual book. That's why you get people, try to read this Bible, who are not born again, have got no idea what this Bible's talking about. And that's why they say it contradicts itself from beginning to the end. There is no contradictions in this book. He doesn't contradict himself. But it's a spiritual book wrote to a spiritual man. And if you're not born again, you cannot understand this book. Because it says, Jesus says, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. This is spirit and life. And you're a spirit. So that's why I love speaking and all the scriptures we give you. When you start speaking the word, it's spirit and life. And you're speaking life because the word is full of life. Because God is life. And life is imparted to you. Life is being imparted to your spirit, being strengthening your spirit. It's been imparted. Life has been imparted because he is life. In the beginning was the word. The word was God. The word is God. There's nothing created that is created unless it's through the word. The word has the power and the demonstration and the DNA in it to strengthen you and to expose things in your solical man to show you how to be strengthened in your spirit. So this is the problem that Christians have. We cannot know the supernatural things of God through the solical man. You can. We can. We have a conflict within us with our solical parts wanting to dominate our spiritual parts. Right? Now Galatians 5 and 17 says this. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that they can do not the things that they wish to do. Now, this is not talking about the Holy Ghost. This is talking about your spirit. The flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, right? You have a battle. So you can even read I'm not going to talk about tonight, but Romans chapter 7, and you talk about how Paul had the conflict, you know, the things I want to do, I can't do, and the things that I seem to, you know how it goes, right? So this one here, he's going, the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. There's a battle going on, people. There's a battle, right? The enemy wants to empower your flesh, but God wants to empower your spirit to take charge of your flesh, right? I want to tell you a little story, which I thought was actually funny. It's not that funny, actually. But I thought it was funny after it happened. 2 mornings ago, which this is Wednesday, right? So it was actually Tuesday morning. All the guys go down to the heads most of the days to pray, right? In Mokitani, right? Every morning, 6 o'clock. Most mornings, I take the dog for a walk, but I go down sometimes to catch up with the guys because I take the dog for a walk and have my prayer walk with them and I take the dog in the morning. So anyway, the dog wakes me up at 5:40, right? So I look at the time and goes, man, it's 5:40. Body was tired, right? So my body's speaking to me right away, right? We're talking spirit, soul, and body. You are a spirit living in a body and you have a soul. So my body's tired. I'm going, man, 5:40, early. And then I started to think, maybe I should just jump up and go to prayer, right? Well, who's telling me that? It ain't my soul, right? That's my spirit, man, right? So I'm thinking and say, yeah, I think I'll just jump up and go to prayer, but I'll have 5 minutes more. So my soul commander jumped in. Then all of a sudden, I'm telling you, this is what happened. This is Tuesday morning. All of a sudden, the reasoning realm kicked in and goes, but you're going to Rotorua tonight and it's going to be a long day at working and you've got to go to Rotorua tonight and it's going to be a late night, so just have the extra time in bed. This is the conversation. I'm telling you, I felt like, you know, it was like, you know, who said that? It was like, it's like two people living inside of you, right? And all of a sudden, this I'm hearing this like, yeah, you're going to Rotorua tonight, blah, blah, blah. So stay in bed because you need your rest. So anyway, I yielded to that because my body, my soul were in cahoots against my spirit, right? They were in cahoots, bro, I'll tell you. So I turned over, fell asleep, had an extra 40 minutes, get up, I'm making a coffee and I'm ready to go to work and all of a sudden it dawned on me. This is Tuesday. I ain't going to Rotorua tonight. And I thought, you dumb soul, my soul convinced me I was coming here on Tuesday night. That was the thoughts going on in my head. I actually thought I was coming to Rotorua on Tuesday night, so I turned over and went to sleep, and I wasn't until I had a coffee. After 5 minutes, been up, I went, all of a sudden, this is Tuesday. I don't go to Rotorua on a Tuesday. Now, these are real things. Your spirit, your soul, and your body, how they can speak to you, right? My flesh was like, oh yeah, it's comfortable. Just lie here. My soul's going, no, you're not going to Rotorua tonight. Just that one. And them two just hooked up against me, my spirit man, and my spirit man's going, like, take me to prayer. I want to go to prayer. Right? It's funny, but it's true. That's what happened. I giggled. I thought, oh, yeah, crazy, man. Where am I now? Lost my place. Oh, yeah. So Galatians 5:17. So the flesh lusts against the spirit, right? My spirit wanted to pray. It was lusting against those thoughts. Right? Romans 8:5-7 says this, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, or indeed can be. The carnal mind, it says here in Romans, is enmity. You know what enmity is? It's, you know, something that rubs against, it pushes against it, you know, it has a, right? The carnal mind pushes and kicks against the things of God all the time. That's why Apostle Paul tells you, like, and I keep giving you the scripture about James. Don't be like the man who looks in the mirror, walks away and forgets what it looks like. This is your mirror. The Bible's a mirror, right? You've got to receive the engrafted word into your life because that's what saves your soul. That's what renews your mind and saves your soul. So there's enmity from your soulical man. So indeed, it can't be subject. So the only way it's going to be subject is you rising up as a spirit man and making it subject. In other words, hey, you're going to prayer this morning, right? Come on, get out of bed. We're going to prayer. Out of bed, get dressed because you're going to prayer. Right? You have to take charge of your flesh. You have to take charge of your mind. Your mind goes another 10 minutes and then your spirit goes, let's pray, jump up. When you make a decision and you go to bed within 2 minutes, it all comes into line. Right? You're cold, you're tired, you don't want to get up, and all of a sudden you jump out of bed within 2 minutes, that's all disappeared and your feelings and your emotions have all changed. They've all changed. Because if it was the case that we allowed our flesh to keep us in bed because it's cozy and it's wet and damp outside, hey, the mortgage wouldn't get paid, the rent wouldn't get paid. Do you know what I'm saying? So these are the battles that's real within our lives. It's almost like you're dealing with two people in the one body, right? It's almost like being schizo. Like, who said that? No. So, but you've got to deal with that, right? And that's why Paul says you've got to crucify the flesh on a daily basis. You take the word of God and you crucify your own flesh. Crucifixion means crucifying your flesh. You're not going to the cross like Jesus went, but you've got to crucify your flesh with the word of God. By doing and leaning towards. Listen, come on. Hey, see tonight? I mean, he'll probably tell you, I'll let him drive over here tonight. I'm there and I'm still looking at the stuff like that. My flesh is going, man, I'm just ready to go for sleep. I could just stay at home tonight, right? Tracy's in Australia, I could have stayed at home. Your flesh. And it's not that your flesh doesn't get tired. So I'm not saying there's time to rest and all of those things. But hey, your flesh will always be fighting against the things of God. Oh, don't take me to church on Sunday because I've had a long week and I've had a, you know, Saturday. I just need to rest for a few hours. Rest after church. And I keep telling people this. I'm telling you. I've told people this and I've seen it work. Just get yourself to church. If you're tired, get yourself to church. You know why? Because you are a spirit and the word of God is life, right? If you do the spiritual things, it will what? It will bring life to you. It will empower you. You'll feel refreshed. Come on, when you're tired and you try to go for another nap, it doesn't refresh you, right? It just makes you more tired, right? There's times I come home at night, sometimes I want to go for a run. I'm like, oh, I don't want to. Now I'll go for a run. After beat, come on. If you've ever been for a run, within, you know, 10 minutes and then run, all of a sudden you're refreshed and you're like, man, I'm glad I went. Even a walk. A walk or a run, you know, a bit of fresh air. Why? Because you've taken charge of your body and you've done something and your body gets the benefit of it. But your body will speak to you. Come on. Put your feet up, switch the TV on, chill out. Not chilling out, you make yourself more tired. Get to church. Build yourself up. I tell people all the time, just get to church. Come to the classes and just let the Spirit of God refresh you. See, if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap of the Spirit. You sow to the Spirit man, your Spirit man will soar with God and be more effective in the things of God. But you sow to the flesh and spend the 10 hours or the 3 hours watching TV, your flesh will be tired, it'll be groggy, it will be dominating you, and your spirit man will just be hanging there going, give me another body to go on. Give me somebody else. This guy's not playing the game here, right? Okay, let's move on. So we don't want to be carnally minded, we want to be spiritually. Spiritually minded just means, you know what spiritually minded means? See, sometimes we read these things, we don't understand. Spiritually minded just means, hey, spiritually minded is walking in love. Walking in love is spiritually minded. When you're in a situation and somebody said something like that and your fleshly mind wants to, you know, curse them out and have those words in your mind, or you want to, you know, take a strip off of them, that's the solical fleshly man, the Adamic nature. But the minute you choose to walk in love and speak love, what you've done is you've sown to the Spirit, you're yielded to the Spirit. That's been a spiritual man operating from your inwardmost man, or you operate from. It's no wonder the body's in a mess because we don't understand these things. And then afterwards, after your flesh has had its way and think that you've taken your pound of flesh and stripped them, you know, down, whatever, you walk away, do you feel any better? No. Because inside you're going, man, that was terrible, that was wrong. Come on, have you ever been in a situation where somebody comes in? I almost feel like I want to pass it tonight. You see, you shouldn't have said that. Tonight, you know, you're sitting, you ever been in a situation with people and all of a sudden, especially in churches, right? And, you know, everybody's got opinions, right? We've all got opinions, right? Let's lay our opinions aside and let's get his opinions because that's how church works, right? We can get into the same agreement when we take the word of God. But what happens in the church is you get into different opinions, right? This opinion that music's too loud, it's too da-da-da-da, the pastor's too long, whatever, right? And speaks too long, you know, all, you have lots of opinions. You got to crucify those opinions. And then all of a sudden, somebody says something to you about, let's use the pastor. You know, that pastor, you know, I don't really like what he said on Sunday. And you're sitting there, and inside, never happens. Okay, well, use me, right? Because I've had it in the past, right? There's been people that's been ugly to me, right? In the past, spoke some nasty things about me and whatever. And that Danny Smith, blah, 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 blah. And that person's listening and might not even be agreeing with what they're saying, but they're allowing their ears to be dustbins, right? And inside, the spirit man, right, is going, this is wrong. This is wrong, right? This is wrong. But their flesh is just allowing them to, you know, just to the other person to unload and speak negative and ugly things and criticism. That will destroy your spirituality, people. I'm telling you the truth right now. This is new creation reality stuff, right? It will destroy your spirituality. We have to wake up and shake up like that. And if we start letting people speak into ear negative things about church or people or even friends, with that negativity, it basically, it's like poisoning yourself. You've got to shake that stuff off. And you know, you say, well, I didn't. Of course you know, because God's in you and you're a spirit and you know that, just that little irk. When you feel that little irk, that's time to exit, right? I've had people over the years in Scotland try to do it up with me, the pastors. See, I traveled all over the States with the pastors. Why? It wasn't because I was any more special than anybody else, but God seen my heart and knew I wanted to help him build the church. And if people come into my vicinity, right, and started talking to pastor or any of those leaders, I'd say, hey, bro, let's go to the pastor and talk about it. That soon shut them up. But I never saw them again after that. They didn't want any fellowship with me. Why? Because they enjoyed their fleshly nature. Their Adamic nature was ruling them. I don't know how I got into that, but anyway. Three parts of the soul. Let's look at three parts of the soul. Our soul consists of three different and distinct parts. The intellect, the mind, the emotions, and the will. Right? That's the soulical part of man. We can further define the functions of each of these areas. The intellect. Let's have a look at this. The intellect or the mind. This involves the thinking capacity of the intellectual, of your mind. Understanding, functioning of the brain, the area that evaluates circumstances or reason and includes self-consciousness. This is the area where man's wisdom and foolishness resides. It also is the area where memories are stored. So that's the part of your soulical man, right? Is your intellect, your thinking, your reasoning. Your reason. You see, when God asks you to work like, give the example. When I woke up that morning, I'm reasoning about not going to prayer because I'm coming to Rotorua, which wasn't even Wednesday. I'm reasoning. I'm in the reasoning realm, right? I'm reasoning things out. And it stopped me from going to prayer. It stopped me. My reasoning stopped me from going to prayer because I reasoned something that wasn't even real. It wasn't real because I wasn't coming here on a Tuesday night. When God speaks things to us, see, faith is not of the reasoning realm. Faith is of the spirit. Faith is of the heart. The word heart means your spirit, right? Interchanged word. Your faith is of your spirit, not of the intellect. But there's many people, there's a heart faith and there's an intellectual faith from the head. And we've got to get that faith from the heart. It's from the heart that changes our life, not having the knowledge in our soulical man. The knowledge of faith has to be deep within your spirit, rooted and grounded in Christ Jesus. That's what it's talking about, like that tree, rooted and grounded in Christ. That word has to be rooted into your spirit man. It rises up and it changes everything. But if it's just head knowledge, you're floating along like religious people. It's head knowledge. Heart knowledge, faith knowledge changes things because there's a power in faith that is released from your spirit when you're speaking the word. So we can further define this by the intellect, right? That's the intellect, the reason realm. The emotions. This is the area where we experience moods, desires, ideals, loves, likes, dislikes, hate, sadness, joy. I would actually change the word joy there to happiness, right? And I'll tell you why, because, see, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, kindness, meekness, temperance, and against such there is no law that will work against you, right? So joy is a spiritual force that God's placed within your innermost man, your spirit man. That is joy is supernatural and can be tapped into, right? Happiness is different. You're driving along, somebody bangs you up the backside, you know, with a car, all of a sudden you've been singing happy, your happiness went right at the door. It's gone. It's taken off, right? You jump into the car acting like a madman because somebody's, you know, rammed your brand new car, right? Joy is not like that. Joy, through the hard times in your life, joy stays with you. But the Bible talks about joy. It's unspeakable and full of glory. There's a joy within you. Like, give you an example. We two young guys, you know them, come to the church over there in Whakatane, came to my house last Monday night. They says, look, we want to come for prayer. Come along out of the house. These, and I'm talking just brand new Christians, not long in the Lord. They come out of the house. We start to pray in the Spirit, and all of a sudden, the spirit of joy started rising up within inside. I mean, howling and laughing. I mean, if somebody had walked in and thought we were crazy, right? It looked bananas, right? But there was such a strength that was being imparted to their spirit. So this young man was actually on his knees, and he was howling and laughing. We were in tears. See, people, now again, shelf this, right? I'm not telling you how to live, right? I believe personally, right, that we can drink from a well of life, which is from the presence of Almighty God. We don't need the world's wells and their drinking pots, right? The world needs drink and all these things. Why? Because life is miserable out there. So they need something to try and make them a bit happy, right? But when you're into the presence of God, in the presence of God, the manifest presence of God, there is joy everlasting. It's supernatural. It rises up. Man, we were having a party in the presence of God. And joy, he was just filling us with, the joy was rising up. He was just blessing us as we were in prayer. And these young men who have been involved in drugs over the years looked and going, what the heck was that about? When you can have this and it's free and there's no bad consequences with it. We've got so much with inside of us. So, joy. So emotions are the total feelings of mankind. And in the world of emotions, it is sometimes difficult to tell where emotions and thinking begins or vice versa. They are so intrinsically integrated within our inner being, right? This is in the solical part of our being, right? The will. This is the area of the soul is where our willpower is exercised. Our will, our free choice, is making a deliberate decision. It involves decisions based on the exercising of conscious thought. The soul is the carnal part of man's individuality. It reveals his intellect, emotions, and willpower in his natural Adamic state. Now, on that one point, if you actually look at the psalmist David, all the way through the psalms, you'll see David, and he makes many comments, and he says this: I will praise the Lord. I will bless the Lord at all times. I will declare. I will speak of the Lord. I will speak of his goodness. And see, he was activating his will. You have to activate your will. You have to act, but you have to activate it on behalf of spiritual things and on the things of God and towards the things of God. But people are activating their will in the wrong ways, and it's causing destruction. God gave man a will, and God will not mess with your will. You are a free agent. People are in a mess because they're activating their will in the wrong things, doing the wrong things, saying the wrong things, and getting involved in the wrong things because they're activating their will. We have got a will. And that's why our minds have to be so strong and renewed by the power of the Word of God. Why? Because God wants that will activating in his direction so that he can empower your life. So he needs your will in operation. He's got to work with your spirit. That's why if your spirit's strong, it will lean. Your spirit man will rise up and you'll start activating your will towards those things. There must be a certain principle, the divine position of the soul. There must be a certain principle understood concerning the soul if the total man is to be divine harmony. Oh, let me get another one. Remember, Jesus is in the garden, right? Now, Jesus was a man, remember. Even though he was God in the flesh, he laid his deity aside. He operated as a man. Right? He had a soul and he also had a spirit, but he also had flesh, right? And when he's in the garden and he knew where he was going, he knew his destiny was the cross, he knew what he was facing, and he's turned around and said to his father, if there be any other way, take this cup from me. Why? Because, listen, who would want to go through that stuff? He was a man with feelings and emotions. He says, if there be any other way, take this cup from me. But then he makes a statement straight after and he goes, but not my will be done, thy will be done, your will. So he didn't lean to his own will and to do his own thing, even though that he knew what he was facing was going to be very painful. And, well, you know the story. He yielded his will to the Father's will. Let your will be done in my life. And because of it, we are here today. Right? So let me just put this in. If you activate your will towards the things of God and build the kingdom of God, you will affect thousands and probably hundreds of thousands of people. For one person you could touch thousands, and they could touch thousands of thousands of thousands, right? So when we act our will to build the kingdom of God, the multitude of people that you can affect, because you're activating your will to do the right things in God. No pressure. There must be certain principles understood concerning the soul if the total man is to be divine harmony. The soul must be the servant of the Spirit. Did you hear that? Must be the servant of the Spirit. Place Jesus Christ on the throne of your soul. The throne of your soul is the mind. The power of control must be taken from the soul and under the influence of the new creation. Now let me just say that for Jesus, it says here, for the throne of your soul is your mind, the power of control must be taken from the soul and under the influence of the new creation, of your spirit man, right? But back there it says, the soul must be servant to the Spirit and place Jesus Christ on the throne of your soul. Listen, the only way that you can place Jesus Christ on your soul, sola clarina, is this. Is you have to yield yourself to the Word. You have to yield yourself to what He said. That's yielding yourself to Jesus. Come on. God is love and love is God, right? So you get back into a situation and you've got a choice to make and you can open your mouth, say the wrong things, right? The minute you yield to love, right? The minute you yield to love, what are you doing? You're letting Jesus Christ be what? He's taking charge of that situation, that part of your life. He takes charge of your life. When you yield to Him and say, Jesus, I choose you. Jesus, help me in this situation. The minute you talk to Him and say, Jesus, I give myself to you in this situation. I don't want to act wrong in this situation, but I need your strength, Lord. He will strengthen you because the Holy Spirit come to help you and strengthen you. That's you yielding yourself to Jesus. And He will take charge of your life then. So it's about communicating with Him. It's about acknowledging Him in every situation. So the third part here. So the influence is the new creation man. You are a spirit living in a body. You have a mind, will, and intellect and your emotions. But your spirit is strong. The new creation man will basically take charge of your life. But if your spirit man's not strong, it doesn't have the ability to take charge. Your soul will take charge of your life. And that's where the damage comes. The devil wants to control the throne of your mind. After our salvation has taken place, we must continually work to free ourselves from all controlling powers that have been present. Right? Like, in other words, Pastor talked about earlier on about that spirit of rejection. Speaking to your soulical man, speaking, that has to be broken. That has to be destroyed. So if it's a spirit, it may not be a spirit. Let's just say you've just had wrong teaching, you've wrong belief system. See, if you think wrong and you believe wrong, you will act wrong and you will speak wrong and you'll feel wrong. They all change things. If you believe wrong, you'll think wrong, you'll believe wrong, and you'll act wrong, and there'll be a wrong outcome in your life. So we've got to change the way we think. It's about how we think. And this is it here. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. I beseech you therefore, that brethren, that by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. Come on. Who's he talking to? Who's he talking to? I beseech you therefore, brethren, that you present your body. Who's he talking to? Your new creation. It's you. He's saying, he's talking to the new creation. I beseech you, brethren, that you may present your body. You, the new creation, the inner man, the new creation, the one who's created in the likeness and image of God. You present your body. You. He's talking to the new creation. You present your body. You, the spirit man, has to get out of bed and take yourself to prayer. You, the new creation, has to bring yourself to church. That's what he's speaking to right here. He says, you present your bodies a living sacrifice and holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, right? Another translation is, don't be conformed, don't be squeezed, don't be molded into the ways of this world. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. By renewing your mind. By renewing your mind. See, the more you renew your mind, the more your mind will be subject to your spirit. Right? The more you get the word of God into your spirit, man, the word of God will rise inside of you and will grab a hold of your mind. Renewing your mind. How to think. Renewing it, how to think. We have to renew our mind so we don't have those old thoughts and old ways of thinking. Have a paradigm shift in your mind. But you don't understand where I came from. You don't understand my culture. You don't understand this, and you don't understand that. You don't understand where I was brought up in a family. Forget all that stuff. Renew your mind to what he says. Renew your mind to who he says who you are. You can do it because he tells you you can do it. I know this stuff works. I was a guy that grew up in Glasgow in a family, and then I traveled the country with show people. You know the carnival. I was in out of schools like a robot. School, I don't know what school was. Education, what? But God has taken me places that I could have never imagined. And I've been around people that I could have never imagined. God has the ability to take you way beyond whatever you could imagine or even think, according to his purposes and his plans. If we will just stay close to him and yield to him. Even when I went through social work when I was doing a course there, they told me I'd never make it because of my lack of education, whatever, blah, 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 blah. And there was guys in the course. And I took 4 weeks off to go and run the New York Marathon, and also go to Comrades in South Africa to run for Feed the Hungry program. Took time out. You'll never make it, they told me. I was the only guy on the course that passed the course. I was the only guy. All the other guys failed the course. Because women just seem to have a greater ability in those situations with social work, right? They all failed the course. Me, who took 4 weeks out of the course and didn't have the great education, passed the course. Why? Because I've got God on my side. You have God on your side. He's in you, working for you. He will do things beyond your imagination. But we need to renew our minds. And start thinking the way he thinks. Bigger, new creations, righteousness of God. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You've got to convince your mind that this is what it's about. Because God speaks to your spirit, but you've got to convince your mind. You've got to take charge of your mind. You know, you've got to speak to your mind. I'm saying, that's why they see people look at me just now, right, going, they're going, what, speak to your mind? Listen, it's scriptural. David did it all the time. Look, read the Psalms. He's saying, bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Why are thou cast down, O my soul? Why are you cast down? For the Lord is good. He was reminding himself that the Lord was good and his mercies would endure forever. You've got to remind your soul. You've got to, that's why it says, James, don't walk away from the mirror and forget what you look. You've got to remind your soul on a daily basis who you are in Christ and who God is, and God's for you. And if God's for you, then who can be against you? You've got to remind your soul. Don't forget all his benefits, Psalms 103. Forget not all his benefits. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You've got to say so to yourself. In the mirror. I'm nearly finished. We're going to take a break in a couple of minutes. Ephesians 4 and 22, 24, Amplified says this. Strip yourself of your former nature. Put off, disregard your old unrenewed self, which characterized your previous manner of life and becomes corrupt through the lusts and desires that spring from delusion. And be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental, spiritual attitude, and put on the new nature, that the regenerate self, created in God's image, God-like, true righteousness and holiness. You have to put it on every day. Put on the new nature. In other words, let the new nature rise within inside of you. You. God doesn't come at all. No. God only comes when you open your mouth and you basically go to him and you start declaring who you are in Christ. Then the Holy Spirit starts working with you and you start to see who you are in Christ. Then you start to see things in a different way, a new, fresh mental attitude, because you're speaking what God is speaking over your life and what he, all his promises. You're seeing things with a new, fresh mental attitude. You've got to put the new man on every day. Cloak yourself with Christ, with the word. See and think how he sees and how he thinks, and you can't do that without the word through the Spirit of God. Take 5 minutes. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you again for your presence here. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's all because of Jesus again, Lord. We acknowledge the Son of God, the risen Savior, the Holy One of Israel. Jesus, we're so thankful. We are so thankful tonight that we can stand here and we are new creations in you, Lord, because of what you've done at Calvary, because of the blood that you shed for us. And we're so thankful that you've sent the Holy Spirit to us to help us to be. We're not trying to be something, Lord. It's already who we are. We're just acknowledging who we are in you tonight and give you the praise for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. So that's the key. I was just talking to a couple of people there. The key, I'm telling you, this isn't rocket science, right? This is really simple stuff, right? Yes, we're breaking down spirit, soul, and body. But the reality is it's this. It's simple. You are a spirit. You live in a body and you have a mind. You've got to renew your mind with the word of God. You've got to feed your spirit on the word of God because it's spirit and life, and your spirit becomes strong and you'll take charge of your life. And it's not about trying to be something or trying to put laws on yourself. Remember, the more you speak the word of God through the scriptures that we gave you, I'm telling you, that's the key. That is your spiritual exercise. Speaking the word of God because it's spirit and life, it will get inside. You speak the word and it gets inside of you. Right? All you're doing is acknowledging who he's already created you to be. So what you're doing, you're acknowledging. By the acknowledging, in fact, it's in Jude, it says, by the acknowledgement, Jude 20, I think it is, or just before that, by the acknowledgement of every good thing that's in you in Christ Jesus will make your faith effectual. Did you hear that? Your faith will become effectual. You will be effectual in the things of God when you acknowledge Christ in you, when you acknowledge that you are more than a conqueror, when you acknowledge that you are the righteousness of God, when you acknowledge that you are born of his love, then you're a loved person, that you're patient, that you're kind. See, your character is patient and kind, you're patient and kind. Don't go there. Don't let your mind think anything else. Speak according to the word and you will be empowered to be patient. You will be empowered to walk in that love because you are a loved person, because you're born of love. The love of God has been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. If you're praying prayers, oh Lord, give me more love, he's not answering them prayers because he's already shed his love into your heart. He's giving you the love. You have to develop the love. It has to be developed. You develop it by feeding on it, and meditating on it. Meditating on the word that you are a love person. You're born of love. I'm born of love and I'm born of God because God is love and love is God. I'm born of love. I am a love person. I have the ability to love beyond my feelings. That's supernatural. It's supernatural. You can love beyond your feelings. When your feelings are giving you fits because of something's done, that you can love beyond your feelings. In fact, we had a testimony of John Steele, who was in Whakatane on Sunday night. He's a prophet of God, 8-year-old, I don't know if anyone knows John Steele, but he's 80-year-old, been preaching to God, the gospel for years and years. And he gave a story similar to that, how that when he was building a church, this guy that was with him many, many years ago basically stole the church from him, and it was messy. See, solical. It's solical. All these things happen, it's solical, right? It's self-will, self-righteous, self-this, all about me, not about building God's kingdom. Anyway, later on in the years, he went to this convention and thought he was over it, and thought, and he was seeing this guy, and he just froze, and he just like, and God spoke to him and said, deal with us. And anyway, this guy never even came to the dinner. John Steele went to the guy's, chapped on his door, the guy opened it, and the guy tried to shut the door in his face. And he put his feet in the door, and he pushed the door open, and he walked in, and he just kept speaking to him. He says, I want you to forgive me. This is John Steele telling him, I want you to forgive me. He stole the church from John Steele. And John Steele was saying, I want you to forgive me for all the wrong things I've thought about you and all the angry thoughts I've thought about you over the period of years, all the ugly things that I've thought about you for things that happened between us. I'm asking you, please forgive me. And he was tears on his face. And the love of God hit that man. And the guy started weeping and says, I'm sorry, I apologize, it's my fault. And the two of them walked back to the meeting, and people knew obviously what happened over the years and were looking and couldn't believe seeing these two guys walking hand in hand basically to the meeting. The love of God is more powerful than your emotions, more powerful than your feelings, more powerful. God will break things and destroy things by his love. And that love is in your heart, it's in your spirit, it's in there. He couldn't have done that in the natural. But we can do it in the supernatural. So be renewed in the spirit of your mind, right? Constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental, spiritual attitude, putting on the nature, the regenerate self, created in God's image, God-like and true righteousness and holiness. So you have to put it on every day. And that how you put it on, you take the word and you speak the word who you are in Christ. That's you putting on the new nature, right? That's you putting on Christ. There's only room for one throne. 1 Corinthians 15:45 says, and so it is written, the first man Adam became a living being. The last Adam became a living, a life-giving spirit, which is talking about Jesus, right? There was a first Adam, which was Adam in the garden. The second Adam was Jesus. But the second Adam was a life-giving spirit. The total man is two persons. We have within us the first Adam, right? His blood in our veins. We also have within us, as Christians, the last Adam, who is a... So within the Adamic nature of Adam, because we have the blood that came from one man all the way through generations, the blood of man, so we have the Adamic nature in our flesh, and that's why we've got trouble, right? Because of that Adamic nature, right? And then we died spiritually, but once we got born again, our new nature, why? Because the second Adam came into our life, which was Christ. When we received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we got born again. So it says here, it says, and the last Adam is a life-giving spirit. So we also have within us, the Christians, the last Adam, who is a quickening or life-giving spirit. So we have the first Adam, which is his blood, and all that crazy stuff and that battle that was on in our flesh. And then by the Spirit of God, when we're born again, we have a new nature, and our spiritual nature is of the second Adam. And that's what we've got to feed on the Word of God, is the second Adam. Why? Because that's what will dominate this flesh. It will dominate this flesh. When your flesh wants to do the wrong things, you can dominate it. Why? Because your spirit man can be in charge. But you have to feed your spirit the Word of God for it to be in charge. Remember the old saying, the black dog, the white dog? And they're two fighting. Who wins? What dog's the strongest? The dog you feed. The dog you feed will be the strongest, right? Who are you feeding? Are you feeding your flesh or are you feeding your spirit man? You feed your spirit man will have the dominant force in your life. You feed your flesh, all the fleshly desires, all the fleshly stuff, what will happen is your flesh will take charge of your life. It's like living with two people. I'm telling you, that's what it's like. You know that for yourselves, right? Like living with two people. What's going on here? No. Feed your faith. One man said, I love this statement. Feed your faith and starve your doubts to death. Feed your faith and starve your doubts to death. So how does faith come? By hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Feed your faith. Feed your spirit, man. So the total man is two persons. We have within us the first Adam, which is blood, is veins, and the quickened spirit is Jesus. Each of these two Adams has a throne. On the throne of our soul, which is your mind, Satan could be Lord. So that should be in there as Satan is Lord. Change that and think it like this. When you're born again, in fact, hi, a lot of times it's actually reality in Christianity. People get born again and Satan is still on the throne of their soul and still ruling them and still taking them down the wrong roads. Come on, when I got born again, I'll give you a bit of testimony. When I first got born again, I wasn't going to church. I was born again. I became a new creation. I didn't know who I was because I didn't have this teaching. I was still in the world. I was still taking drugs. I was still doing the party stuff, whatever, right? So who was ruling? Satan was ruling through my soulical man because this mind wasn't renewed. And I didn't know who I was in Christ Jesus. So he was still ruling me through my flesh and through my fleshly desires because I lived like that, right, in that world. So my mind was still being controlled at that point in time. But the more the word of the Lord came to me, the more God's word got inside of me and my mind started getting renewed, the less. In fact, Jesus puts it this way. Jesus says, Satan has nothing in me. Satan has nothing in me. The more we get the word of God in our life, the enemy has nothing to pull on in our life. The enemy has nothing to pull on. The more we start to renew our mind, the enemy has nothing to pull on. He might come along, but he's nothing to pull on your life because you renew your mind, your spirit's becoming strong. You start to recognize it, you deal with it instantly. Some other points to recognize about the soul. The soul must not be the source of motivation. It must be the servant of motivation. The soul must not be the source of motivation. It must be the servant of motivation. I actually meditated on a little bit of that, and I was thinking about that. The soul must not be the source of motivation, right? Why? Because if your soul is unrenewed and it's the soul and it's motivation, come on. How many drug dealers are on the streets are totally motivated, right? Soulical, loving that real selfish self-gain, destroying other people's lives. See, motivation from the soul. Unless your soul is actually renewed by the power of God and by the word of God, right? It takes a whole new light on. So Motivation is not, we don't want the motive. The motivation should come from the Spirit of God, from the passion for Christ, from your innermost being. Your soul can take you in the wrong roads. It's not the place of motivation. I want to read that again. Something happened when I was reading that last night. The soul must not be the source of motivation. It must be the servant of motivation. It must be the servant of motivation, right? Motivation, when you're motivated to come to church, when you're motivated to share the gospel, when you're motivated to lay hands on the sick, when you're motivated to love and walk in the realm of love. See, motivation. Your soul has to be the servant to that. Your soul has to be the servant to that motivation that God's leading you. The sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Your soul has to be servant to that. The human emotions, feelings, cleverness, or decisions will never be able to reach the deepest needs of man because they are soulish. Man and psychology and all of those, they can't reach man because man is a spirit. All of those soulical things can't reach deep into the heart of man. The only person that can reach into the heart of man is God. God is a spirit. And created man in his likeness and image. And though he fell in the garden, he's still a spirit. So only God knows how the spirit operates. We need God to come into the situations by spirit through the words of knowledge and words of wisdom and deal and show and bring life to people. This teaching changed my life. I was born again for probably four years. And I was up and down like a yo-yo. Up and down like a yo-yo. Loved the Lord. I would even pray. But I had no idea who I was in Christ Jesus. I had no idea how to take charge of my life. But the minute, and that's what God said to me over the years, he says, because even when I first got saved, I was at prayer meetings, and I could pray, and I was even praying, and different people saying, how can you pray so much, and da-da-da. I was taking the word, and I was praying the word. I didn't even know what I was doing. I have no understanding what I was doing. But it wasn't until I got with people, like Pastor tonight, you know, there's other people, you got blind spots, whatever. You need people to speak into your life, apostles, prophets, pastors, and teachers, whatever. Once I got round that dimension, they started speaking into my life. What happened was understanding started coming. Once you got understanding of who you are in Christ and how to walk in out of your spirit and how to walk in the things of the spirit with God, and as Tracy said, it's not like Casper the Gods who try to walk in the spirit, you know, it's all spirit. No, walking in the spirit is just walking out of your recreated being. It's walking out of who you are in Christ, walking in forgiveness, walking in peace, walking in joy, walking out of the fruit of the Spirit, walking out of the life of God that's within us. That's walking in the Spirit. And then there's dimensions from there on in. But we need to learn to walk in that place first. It's about loving one another, forgiving one another, walking out of the new nature. So they can't do it through their emotions. The soul of man is seductive and it deceives. It deceived me on Tuesday, my brothers and sisters. It deceived me, thinking I was coming here on Tuesday and stopped me from going to prayer. And this is a guy who knows this stuff, right? And been in this stuff for 32 years. And that's why I keep always going back to James. Don't be like the man that looks in the mirror and walks away and forget. You've got to look in the mirror of the word of God every day of your life. This is a lifestyle. You have chose to give your life to Jesus. It's a lifestyle. It's not a one deal Sunday thing. It's Monday through Sunday, every day, living with Jesus, walking with Jesus. It's Christianity 101, walking with Jesus. And it's fun. Because when we start to have that mentality, he will start to use us in a bigger way and do greater things. So God desires the only... Let me read this. The soul of man is seductive and deceived because of self-interest and carnal gratification, right? Therefore, the soul must be mastered and ruled and governed by the spirit of man. Your soul has to be ruled and governed by your spirit man. God desires that only the spirit of man shall decide the destiny of man and not the soul. If you're yielding, see, on Tuesday, again, go back to Tuesday. If I had yielded to my spirit, I'd have been down at prayer Tuesday morning. Right, my destiny should have been at prayer to be with the boys and to pray over the Whakatane town. And see, that was my destiny for that day. I lost a little part of my destiny that day because I yielded to the stinking flesh and listened to the solar command. Right? So what do? You just wipe yourself off, get back up and get back in there. It's not about, there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. When you blow it, mess up, get back up on your feet, wipe it off and move on. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. God will never condemn you. It's the enemy that condemns you. Now God will convict you, but he will never condemn you. The human nature, as we could call it, it functions of this, it's the function of the soul. The human nature is the function of the soul, of the Adamic man. That is what we struggle against in the spirit. So it's your spirit. The flesh is lusting against the spirit. It's trying to stop your spirit from doing what it wants to do. It wants to have its own way. You've got to take charge. A gentle soul. A person is only gentle when he is pleased or his own will is gratified. We're talking the solar command, right? Force that human nature and it will react in an opposite way, showing its soulish nature. In other words, if you live out the solar command, it's okay when everybody's loving us and everybody's doing what we're asking to do. And I've suffered over this in the years and even certain works and social work. I remember this one situation. This person was all good with me, whatever, as long as I was going down the same line and I was agreeing with everything that they were doing, and there were some things that was they weren't doing that I didn't really agree with. And the minute I said I didn't agree with it, that was it. I was off the Christmas list. They were nice and gentle and cool and all the rest of it and liked me and give me favour. But the minute I started saying, hey, why are we doing it that way? Because, you know, this isn't... The minute it was over, the solar command kicked in. That nice person that everybody thought that the person was, the nature, that solar Adamic nature just changed, man, and turned on me. Turned on me badly. That's the solar command. That's why Paul says this. Paul says, I put no confidence in the flesh. Just when you think that you're... He said, look, I'm a Pharisee, a religious... I mean, he was all of that. He said, I count it all as dung for the knowledge of Christ, for the resurrection power that lives in me. The flesh will come up and just bite you when you think you've got it all together. That's why you've got to stay close to Jesus. I put no confidence in the flesh or my Adamic nature. I put my confidence in God and the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus Christ through the power of the Word. The power and the abilities of the soul of man are not to be destroyed, but directed by the Spirit of man. So it's not that God, see, and this teaching that went around years ago, saying like that, you know, oh, we have to, God has to break it down. God doesn't want to break it down. God wants to build you up, people. God doesn't break you down. God builds you up. And God gave you the will and gave you the emotions. But God wants to build you up from the inner man so that you take charge of your life. He doesn't want to break you down. In fact, Jesus made a statement. He says, I will build my church. Come on, are we the church? Jesus says, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He's talking about you, the new creation. He's talking about you, the where God lives. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost. I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. God is not tearing you down. He's building you up. God's a builder, exhorter, right? So your language should be exhortation, comfort, and edification. That's the language of the new creation. The new creation has a language, and the new creation language is this: edification, comfort, exhortation. Full stop. That's the nature. It's a love nature. Doesn't crucify. Read Corinthians 13 in your own time. You'll see what that nature is, and you'll see that's the language of the new creation. Corinthians 13. You're struggling in love, you're struggling to love people, feed your faith on Corinthians chapter 13 every day and put your name in there when you're reading it, and I'll guarantee what will happen within a month. You'll start to look, you go, how did I get here? Why? Because you're feeding your faith, feeding your spirit, and you'll start to see and you'll start to walk in it. Corinthians 13. So the power and abilities of the soul man are not to be destroyed but directed by the spirit of man. The soul is the servant and must not rule. It is useful servant but as a destructive master. So your soul is a great servant, but it's a destructive master if it's in charge. If God's not in charge of your life, and your soul, and you're in charge of solely and solely in charge of your life, it can be a destructive master. They're not sitting in my seat at church. That's my seat. Is your name on that? I'm talking, listen, we were in a prayer meeting many years ago. This is funny, right? But it's not funny. Try to get a point across, right? I used to be at prayer meeting for years, and this we used to have prayer meeting. Every church in Scotland was very, very powerful and strong on prayer. They would have like four prayer meetings a week, every morning. There was a bunch of intercessors, every morning, bunch of intercessors. So every time I was off work, the shift work, I was always at those prayer meetings, right? But there was a bunch of people in that prayer meeting. They were there all the time. They didn't walk. They were older people, great prayer warriors. But one day we walked in. This guy had been in there for years, prayer warrior. Somebody put a coat on the chair that he would sit on, and he goes and he takes the coat off and he says, "That's my chair." This is an intercessor. This is the guy who prays and speaks the things of God. But what I'm saying is, like Paul says, I put no confidence in the flesh. The flesh can kick straight back in. We've got to. It's about recognizing these little things. Jesus says, it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. Instead, he's saying, oh, bless you, brother, have the seat. See, that would be the new nature, I would say that. Hey, it's my seat. You've just been in prayer for the last hour, brother, and the glory of God was here. And what happened? You've just lost the glory. I'm joking, right? But this is what happens. The flesh is so easily just wants to kick back in. Dividing of the soul and spirit. Now, this is important. The spiritual man and the natural man can only be divided by the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God. The only thing that can divide your soul and your spirit is the word of God. Right? And this is what it says in Hebrews 4:12. The Amplified Version says this. For the word of God speaks, is alive, it's full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. Why? Because it's alive. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life, the soul, and the immortal spirit, and the joints and the marrow, and of the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging every thought and the purposes of the heart. That's the word of God. That's what it'll do for you. It's the one that discerns the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The word, the sword of the spirit. It's the word that basically divides how you're thinking. You go to open your mouth in the wrong way and the word speaks to you. The word speaks to you saying, hey, you're born of love. It's just discern what you're about to do as you're about to open your big mouth and get yourself in trouble. The word will speak to you. In Proverbs it talks about this. Get the word in you. Write it on the tablets of your heart. Write the word on the tablets of your heart. The word, why? Because at the right point in time, it will speak to you in the situation. Wisdom will speak to you. The Holy Ghost will bring to remembrance the word. I had a question earlier on there, so I'll just hit this again. It was interesting. You know, some people think they get into Christ and that's it. God can just speak to them and that's it and they're on the road. No. John 15 and from 1 right through to 8 talks about I am the vine, you the branches. The life comes through the vine into the branch. From the vine into the branch, right? But then he says, abide in me. He says, because I abide in you. He says, as you abide in me and I abide in you, right? And he says, then he goes on to say, he doesn't stop there. He goes, and he says, if my words abide in you, if you abide in me and I in you, and if my words abide in you, abide, live, dwell, then you will ask what you will and it will be done unto you. So it's in Christ, but then the word has to be living in you. The word has to be living and dwelling in you. Why? Because that's where he speaks through your spirit, through the word, and he speaks to you and communes with you through his word. So exposing, sifting, analyzing, judging every thought, purpose of the heart. That's what the word will do. Philosophy cannot divide the spirit from the soul. The science cannot divide the spirit from the soul. Why dividing of the soul and spirit is so necessary? One, the division of the soul and spirit is necessary in order for God to live and work through us unrestricted. In sinners only, their soul functions. Now they are a spirit. But it's their soul command that dominates, right? Their spirit is not alive unto God. They're still a spirit, and they have a soul, but they operate from the soul command, the dominion. We all did. But once you get born again, you come alive unto God, your spirit's alive unto God. Now God deals with your spirit man, empowers your spirit man, and now you can start taking charge of your life. Your pastor doesn't take charge of your life. God doesn't even take charge of your life. Come on. Because you have the free will to go and do what you want to do. But you'll get the consequences of what you go and do, right? You're a free agent. He doesn't make us robots. But what he does do is that if you will come and follow after me and hearken to me, I'll empower you and you will be able to rise up and overcome as when my words abide in you, then you will ask what you will and it will be done unto you. For example, the Bible is either understood by the spirit or by the soul. If we meet the Lord in the word, if we meet the Lord in his word, it must be by his Holy Spirit. Only the Holy Spirit can give correct understanding of God's word. Right? Holy Spirit. That's why when I teach these teachings, and that's why there's a whole passage in here about the Holy Spirit, because when you get to know Holy Spirit and talk to him every morning and converse with him every morning, because he's God. When we're talking to God, we're talking to God, the Holy Spirit. He's the one who reveals things. Even tonight, as I'm teaching here, it isn't me. Well, hopefully it's not me. God is the only person. I can't reveal nothing to you. I just get under his anointing, preach his word, and it's the Holy Spirit that reveals things to you. It's the Holy Spirit. So you've got to acknowledge him all the time. The life of the human spirit is only dominant after the conquering of the soul life. Romans 8, 5 and 7 in the Amplified says this. For those who are according to the flesh are controlled by its unholy desires. For those who are according to the flesh are controlled by its unholy desires. Set their minds on the and pursue those things which gratify the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit and are controlled by the desires of the Spirit set their minds on and seek those things which gratify the Holy Spirit. Now, the mind of the flesh, which is sense and reason without the Holy Spirit, is death. Death that compromises all the miseries arising from sin, both here and hereafter. But the mind of the Holy Spirit is life and soul peace, both now and forever. That is because the mind of the flesh, which is carnal thoughts and purposes, is hostile to God. For it does not submit itself to God's law, indeed cannot. So when the human spirit touches God's spirit, and God's spirit makes alive the human spirit, we become renewed in spirit. We become renewed in spirit. And that's what this is talking about here, that flesh, the desires of the flesh. There's many Christians today who are born again and spirit-filled and would say even love God in their heart, and they are in bondage to things in their life. They're in bondage to drugs. They're in bondage to pornography. They're in bondage to sexual immorality. And people look, how can they be born again? Because they've never risen up and never been trained and never been empowered to take charge of their lives. Because if we are living even as a born-again, spirit-filled Christian and we're not leading to relying upon Holy Ghost and pushing into the Word and speaking over our life on a daily basis, that's the spiritual things. If you don't do that, your flesh man will just take charge. I've seen pastors who were pastors of churches in Scotland, in Glasgow. This pastor who was, anyway, loved the Lord, was preaching. He just backslid. And what did he do? Went back into the passions of his lifestyle, of the desires of the flesh. The desires of the flesh. That's why we are in a battle every day with our flesh man. And the enemy wants to empower your flesh to take you in the wrong path. But God empowers your spirit to make you rise up to overcome so as you can take dominion and show people how to walk with him. So it doesn't matter if you're a pastor. See, because they're pastors or teachers, we have to live by what I'm telling you today. My pastor in Scotland said this statement to me, and it never left me. He says this. He says, how did he go? How did this go, Lord? You will only ever be as strong as who you are in Christ, as a Christian. You have to operate as a Christian, out of your born-again spirit life first, right? If you think that you can get a gift or God puts a gift on you or puts a title on you and you try to live out that, you're in trouble. Because those gifts come upon you for a season, time to do what you need to do, but you live from your innermost being. You live from your spirit man. You live. Every person, doesn't matter, pastors, prophets, whatever, every person is called to live from the innermost being, empowered by the Spirit of God. Because your anointing can take you places. And you're called and anointed. But only your character will keep you there. When you develop what character? The character of Christ, the new creation reality. Religion is either spirit or soul. A soul religion does not change a person's nature. Right? Religion is either spirit or soul. A soul religion does not change it. Come on, how many times you've seen, you know, I mean, all sorts of religions, whatever, trying to tell people, you know, like, go and, like, sacrifice under trees and go and sit and hum under a bird tree for 10 hours. And see, they can't change people. That doesn't change the nature. They might think they're peaceful with wearing orange cloaks and sitting in caves or whatever they want to do, right? It doesn't change the nature. They still have their sinful nature. They're still who they are. All they've done is take themselves out of society, try away from everybody, but you will still be able to press their buttons and they probably, they'll react because they have this sinful nature. But the Spirit of God, the real Christianity, is God changes your nature. When you receive Christ, your nature is changed. Your DNA is changed. You are a new person, a brand new person, a new species. You're born from above. You are born from above. In fact, even Paul says, your citizenship isn't here, people. Do you hear what I said? This isn't, your citizenship isn't here in New Zealand or me in Scotland. No, your citizenship is in heaven. You are a citizen from heaven. You're just passing through this place. Don't try and stay attached to New Zealand. You're passing through. Abraham was passing through looking for another city. The heavenly calling, the heavenly city. We are citizens of heaven, new creations born from above. Our Father is God in heaven. We have a destiny. We're just passing through, and our job is to bring as many people as we can with us. But we have to live this life and live the life in light so that they can be attracted to what we've got. So the body fell in the garden. The soul and its desire, wishes and ambitions fell with Adam in the garden, the Eden, and the contrary to God and the human spirit. The body fell in the garden and death came upon the body. The body is a servant to obey the soul, and the soul must be a servant of the human born again spirit. So your body and soul has to be in line with your spirit. One man said this way, a spiritual giant is one whose mind is in line with his spirit. That's what makes a spiritual giant. One whose mind is in line with his spirit. His spirits want to do things and his mind's over here wanting to do other things. It's trouble. Bringing your mind into line with your spirit and the thoughts and the intents of God's heart, that's what makes you spiritual. The body of Christ. Millions of Christians in the body of Christ have no idea whether or not they are living in the spirit. Every church-related problem that ever... Now watch this. Every church-related problem has ever been was in a soulish part of the church, the Adamic nature, not in Jesus. When we learn to have the mind of Christ, we won't have those problems. Every split within a church is because of selfishness. Every split within a church is because of selfishness and because me, and more of me. But if we were walking in the realm of love and walking out of the new creation reality, those splits wouldn't happen because you'd be interested in another person's life. You'd be interested in that other person having success. Listen, you would be interested. Come on. It's the Saul and the David. I mean, they cried, oh, David kills his tens of thousands, Saul kills his thousands. David's Adamic nature rose up and started firing javelins at David. And David only wanted to build Saul's kingdom. Right? See, one man's operating completely different from this guy. He tried to start throw javelins. It happens in the church today. People throwing javelins at you. It's because they're walking out of the Adamic nature, right? And that's why, so we learn these things, we can put things into perspective and say, Lord, forgive them. Lord, help them. Not taking on board, not being bent out of shape, not criticizing them and judging them. Just, Father, forgive them. I plead the blood of Jesus Christ, Lord. I just forgive them, Lord. Why? Because they're operating from the Adamic nature. You're getting empowered to see these things that you can walk out of your spiritual nature. Your faith will be hindered if we walk out of the Adamic nature. Your faith has to come from the innermost being because faith is of the heart. So here's an interesting thing. We must learn to have the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:16 in the Amplified Bible says this, "For who has known that understood the mind, the counsels and purposes of the Lord as to guide and instruct him and give him knowledge? But we have the mind of Christ, the Messiah, and do hold the thoughts, feelings, and purposes of his heart." The mind of Christ was a spiritual mind, not a carnal mind. Even as Christians, we can still live with a carnal mind if we desire it, but we will live in constant contention, dispute, and those around us and be subject to our circumstances. Now, let me give you a little word that God gave me when I read this many years ago, and God spoke to me. I was meditating on this and thinking about the mind of Christ. You know, I've got the mind of Christ. Well, come on. You look at the body of Christ and you go, they certainly aren't operating in the mind of Christ and things that's going on in their life, right? And God spoke to me and he says, see, when you think about mind, you think about thoughts, don't you? Right? And your mind is, you see, everything in life is about thoughts. You live and die by thoughts, people. Everything happens, it starts in the thought realm. Your relationships break up because it starts in the thought realm. Relations start because it starts in the thought realm. You won't get better jobs because you start in the thought realm because you're thinking thoughts. So God is saying, we have the mind of Christ. God spoke to me and he says this. He says, see this word. He says, the more of this you get in me, the more of this that you get in you, in your spirit, the more of my mind you'll have. This is his mind right here. This word is his mind. Because this is his thoughts written down by the Holy Spirit, right? Come on, work with me. This is the thoughts of God written down by the Holy Spirit with all the men of God over those years. This is the thoughts of God. He says, walk in love. Bless those that curse you. See, they're the thoughts of God. That's the mind of Christ. Bless those that curse you. Pray for those who despitefully use you. That's the thoughts of God. That's the mind of Christ. So if you get this stuff inside of you, you will say, no, I'm not going to curse them out. Lord, bless them. That's the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is his word. So the more of this you get inside of you, the more you'll have the mind of Christ. And we're just about there. So the mind of Christ was a spiritual mind, not a carnal mind. Even as Christians, we can still live with a carnal mind if we desire it, but we will live in constant contention and dispute with those around us and be subject to the circumstances. So the reason there is so much strife, envy, and division in the churches is not so much as demonic problem, but a believer problem. The believer needs to develop spiritually and come away from babyish tendencies. Now, why am I saying that? Because we know those demonic forces. I'll tell you why. Because if you have the mind of Christ in you, what does he have to combat that? See, the Bible says you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. So if you know the mind of Christ in situations and circumstances in your life and the enemy comes, you go, nah. That doesn't line up with the word of God. That's not the mind of God. See, if you know I do a whole course on the character of God, right? It goes with this course. There's another course called The Character of God and it actually runs alongside of this course. And here's a little thing, because it's what we're talking about right now. See, if I'm walking along the street and somebody bumps into you and talks about me and say, that Danny Smith, blah, 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 and starts all this negative talk, right? If you don't know me, you will have the tendency to take on board, right, what's been said, even though you don't know the person. It just happens, right? You have a perception about that person because somebody has sowed seeds of destruction, right, about my character. And you don't even know me. And then all of a sudden you bump into me and you go, man, what the heck is that person talking about? This guy's a really nice guy. This guy's onto it, man. Right? It blows those perceptions because now you know me. Right? Well, the character of God, once you get to know the character of God, right, the enemy comes along and says things like, oh, God's just teaching you something through that sickness. You go, hold on a minute here. That's not the character of God. My God's the healer. You start to walk and you're struggling with finances, or God's an enemy comes. God's just trying to teach you something to make you keep you humble. Hold on a minute. No, God says, I'll bless you. I'll make you the head and not the tail. I'll make you above and not beneath. I'll make you blessed in the city and blessed in the country and blessed in the field. You see how you combat it? You can only combat those things by knowing the character of God. You can only combat who you are by knowing who you are in Christ Jesus and knowing the word of God and all the promises of God and the new creation reality scriptures. So when the enemy comes and says, you're worthless, you're no use, you came from that culture, you came from this and you came from that. Hey, no, I come from heaven. My father's my God. He's my God and he's my father. I'm born of love. You see how you combat it? So you stop those. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice and follow me, and the stranger's voice they will not follow. When you get the word of God inside of you, that word will speak to you and you will listen to the good shepherd, because the good shepherd, he and his word are one. Amen? Okay, summary and we're finished. The soul is part of man. The soul is the part of man that was inherited from the Adamic nature. It must be surrendered to the spirit man. The soul has three basic divisions: the intellect, the emotions, and the will. Amen.